I went to Dolbo yesterday, it's a personal testimony to me because I'd been praying for a car for months now, for days, because my car's just like, it's had it, like it's really old, and I needed a car, a decent car that would get me around to different places. My car's fine. It's just like, when it comes to driving around Doncaster, it's great. But when it comes to driving outside of Doncaster, it's not that great. So I'd been praying for a car for like months, and a few weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago, we were praying in our house, myself, my dad, my mom, we were sitting down and we were having a time of prayer, and whilst we were praying, God just dropped in my heart again. I felt prompted to pray for a car again. So I says, God, I prayed this loads of time in past, but I'm going to pray for it again. God, I really need a car. It's like, God, I really do need a car. And that was it. So last week I was gonna go to Manchester for a day. I was gonna go to Manchester. Then suddenly we get this phone call from our brother-in-law saying he wants to come visit us. And our brother-in-law, he's not visited Doncaster, and that was his first time. And he goes, I'm gonna go to Brunei this Sunday. Can I come see you guys? And he goes, yeah. So well, we're going to go to Manchester, mate, but it's all right, you can come see us. So he came to Doncaster last week, and he came, we had family time and I sat down and everything, and then he turns around at me, he goes, oh, I heard you were looking for a car. And I goes, yes, I am. And he goes, tell you what, mate, you can keep my car. And he just came all the way to Doncaster just to hand me the keys for this new car. So he, when I say hand in, he drove back again. But in a sense, yeah, metaphorically speaking, he came to Doncaster and he offered to give me this car. And I said to him, mate, I'm going to give you some money for it. He goes, no, just keep it. So yesterday, I went to Dover to get my car. Amen. So, I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I did. I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning. I got ready. And I left my house for about quarter past four. Quickly went to train station. Got on train for 5 o'clock. I was at Dover for half nine. So yes, it was worth it. So I went to Dover. I got there and had a great time visiting family, friends, and that. I said our goodbyes to our brother-in-law. He's flying right now to Brunei. He's in the army, so he's going to be in Brunei for the next few years. I said our final goodbyes. Then this is the main thing, I had to drive back now, so I'm in this car, and we didn't set off till about 6 o'clock in the evening. Got caught up in conversation, excited, and final goodbyes and that, tears, emotional, all that, that bit's done. So this is me and Kushraj, we're going to drive back. So I said to Kushraj, mate, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to drive all the way to Doncaster. I'm not going to stop, mate. I'm going to go for it. So we get in this car. Then I'm driving. I'm like, mate, how do you even turn this car on? Because it's one of them cars you have to press the clutch and press the brake and ignite your car. And I'm like, mate, something's not right. So my sister looks at me. She goes, are you sure you'll be able to drive this car? I said, yeah, don't worry about it. I've drove cars in the past. It's fine. So we literally get in this car and I drive. And on the first junction, I stop, and there's a car behind me. I'm like, I'm panicking. What do I do now? I'm like, trying everything. Mate, it's not working. And literally, the car starts sliding backwards. And I'm like, mate, I'm in trouble. So I pull my handbrake, and I go, I'm going to try it again. So I restart my car again. Boom. I'm ready to go. So I'm in this car, and I'm driving again. And literally, ended up taking the long route. My brother-in-law says, why don't you drive from Cambridge? It's easier that way. So I went to Cambridge and drove that way, and ended up taking us about 5.5 hours to get to Doncaster. So we're driving, and we're in London now. We drove past Blackwall Tunnel, and we're in central London now. We're driving, and there's literally this long traffic. And like, it's never-ending traffic, so we're stuck in there for the next hour. So like, I'm driving, and suddenly my car stops again. I'm like, Kushraj, what's happening? And he starts to panic as well. He's like, come on, there's cars behind us. And I'm like, I've got my hazard light on, and I'm like trying to reignite the car again. And finally, I reignite my car, and I'm carrying on with my journey. And halfway through the journey, it was, I think it was 3 hours on the journey, I'm driving, no, 2.5 hours. I'm driving and suddenly my eyes are just like beginning to shut. I'm like, oh dear. And I'm like really, really tired, but I'm really determined to not stop and just drive to Doncaster. And I'm like, I'm struggling now. My eyes are beginning to shut and that. And I looked at Chris Raj. Chris Raj is trying his hardest to keep me awake as well. And he's panicking with me as well. So I said, all right, mate, I'm just going to stop now. So we pulled into the service station, had our food and everything, good rest, and boom, we carried on again on the journey. And the reason I'm sharing this story is because so many of us, we are in this Christian journey, and we love this Christian journey, and it can be tiring. Although we have got this determination within us, although we have got this zeal within us, although we have got this passion within us, to make it to Doncaster from Dover, sometimes we need to stop and rest. Amen? We need to stop and rest, because if we don't rest, it's going to kill us. And if I wouldn't have rested at that service station, God knows, I would have had a crash or something. But I had to stop. But rest wasn't enough. I needed determination as well. Because after I had that rest, I was on the journey again and I started feeling sleepy again. Because on that resting time, we had KFC. So my stomach was bloated and it was full. So I was tired again. I was But there was two things that kept me going. Rest and determination. Amen. Rest and determination. Those were the two things that kept me going. And those are the two things that will keep us going as well. For the things of God. Because I believe if a person isn't determined to change his life, nothing's going to change. But if a person is really determined to actually allow God to bring change in his life, things are going to change. Amen. And same way, if we're full of determination, but if we're not giving our body rest, hello, hello, we're going to crash. We are going to burn out. And burnout, the feeling isn't good. It's a bad place to be. And today I want to share with us a story from the Bible. It's found in Luke chapter 8. Verse 43 to 48. Luca at 43 to 48. Luca at Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48. And before we get to that scripture, I want to read out this quote from Max Lucado. He's written loads of books, Christian books, and he's a great author. And this is what he writes. God never said the journey was going to be easy. Let me read that again. God never said the journey was going to be easy, but he did say the arrival would be worthwhile. God never said the journey was going to be easy, but he did say the arrival would be worthwhile. And during that journey, my goodness, I was tired. I was like, I can't wait to get to Doncaster. I'm just really, really tired. But I carried on. There was a determination. Never mind the determination. I had to get to Doncaster. I was tired. I was really, really tired. And I was driving, but there was a determination. I need to get to Doncaster. I need to get to Doncaster. If I would have said to myself, like, I'm just going to rest in service station and I'm not going to drive, I wouldn't be able to get to Doncaster. Because even after the rest, we need to get on the car. Because sometimes we can rest a lot and we can forget about the journey. Amen. That's why when we're on the journey, when we rest, yes, but finish the rest. Now it's time to get back on the car again. And there's this story in this, found in Luke's Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 43 to 48. And I absolutely love this story. And this is what he says. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48. This is a story about a woman who was subject to bleeding for 12 years. Most of us, I mean all of us probably have heard this story before, or read this story before. But let me just remind ourselves of this story again. And this is what he says. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. I mean, talk about suffering. This woman had been suffering for 12 years. But no one could heal her. And when I say no one, there was absolutely no one in that land who could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know the power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." I absolutely love this. Coming back to what Ken was sharing earlier about names, here's a story of a woman, and we don't even know her name. We don't even know her name. We don't even know what she was doing and why she was bleeding for 12 years. But we know that she's a woman. We know she's a woman and she's suffering. But yet Jesus, from saying a woman, transforms her life, brings about healing in her life, then calls her daughter. Now she is part of the family. Again, coming back to what Ken was sharing earlier about actually being the children of God. This woman is now part of the family, and Jesus is actually doing something miraculous in her life. Jesus didn't even say a word. All it took was that single touch from the woman. Not physical touch, just his clothes. Just the clothes. She just touched her clothes, and instantly she was healed. And I want to highlight few things from the scripture. And today I really, really want to preach, because I believe, and we're going to leave some room in the end for God to really minister to us, and we're going to allow some ministry time in the end for people who wants to be prayed for and who wants to receive healing, who wants to receive the gifts of the Spirit. Because I believe it's for all. Amen. I believe gifts of the Spirit is for all. I believe tongues is for all. It's where everyone can speak tongues if they desire. And everyone can receive the gift of the Spirit. Amen. So we're going to allow God to move in the end. But before that, I want to preach. And there's the story of a woman. And she'd been bleeding for about 12 years. And she is suffering. I mean, she's tried everything in that land. She has been to physicians. She has been to doctors. She spent every money she had to just to get herself better and just to be healed. And she's been around the land. But it says in the scripture, there was no one in the land that could heal her. No one. For 12 years, she's desperate. And putting ourselves in that position as well, I mean, we have got prayers that we've been praying for years. 12 years, 15 years, 10 years, I don't know how many years. And it looks like we've just hit the wall. And regardless of however we try to push through that wall, it's impossible. I'm just stuck. I'm just going around the circle, the whole principle of going around the circle again and again and again. I'm sick and tired of it. And so many times we get ourselves in that position, and so many times we forget why we are in that position. I believe every brick wall that we face in our life, God is trying to teach us something. I believe that every time we hit the wall, God is teaching us to trust Him more. I believe every time we hit the wall, it's God allowing and giving us that time to rest. Amen. Giving us that time to actually think and settle. I mean, when I was driving yesterday from Dover to Doncaster, I hit the brick wall. I was like, I can't drive anymore. I need to rest. Why? Because I was so determined to drive without stopping that God knew and I knew I needed to rest. So that's why I rested. And similarly in our lives as well, there's so many of us here right now. And we need to rest. We need to stop doing this journey on our own. We need to do that. We know the truth. We know that we need to do that. Because sometimes we can be so, excuse my language, so stubborn, and so prideful that we think that we can do this on our own strength. And I believe God is knocking on every one of our hearts today, saying to us, son, daughter, relax. Son, daughter, come sit down and speak to me. Son, daughter, come on. It's been 12 years. All you do is ask. All you do is you shout at me. Let's just sit down and let's talk. I believe that's what God's saying to us this afternoon. And God wants to do something within our lives, but we're not allowing Him to do it within our lives. Amen. And it goes on to say, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately she stopped bleeding. And let me be careful when I say this. I mean, we love the whole idea of God stooping down from heaven and reaching out to his people and being amongst his people and really sort of like going to other people, where we absolutely love that. But we also need to remember that sometimes we need to go to God. Can I just say, most of the time we need to go to God, because we sit in one place waiting for God to move, while God is saying to us, come on, move to me first, then I'll move. Amen. And I believe, and I know the Bible tells us, there are examples in the Bible where people, they've not just waited on the voice of God, but they've moved and they've acted. And actually, it says in the scripture that when in the creation story, God spoke into being. And actually, it's your and my responsibility for us to mature in Christ, for us to mature in God. We need to start taking responsibility of our actions, and we need to actually make that step towards God intentionally. Not just waiting for God to move, but being intentional in how we move, being intentional in how we speak, and being intentional to what we speak. Amen. Because I firmly believe that God wants to mature every one of us. I firmly believe that God wants to strengthen every one of us. But I do believe in the same way, we are stopping God from moving. I do believe firmly that we are not allowing ourselves to go to God, and we are not giving God time to minister to us. To be honest with you, I'm just like, this is, I'm preaching to myself today. I'm sick and tired of becoming a Sunday Christian. I'm sick enough tired of, so like, it's just, because that's not good enough. My relationship with God shouldn't be just Sunday relationship. My relationship with God should be every day, every second relationship. And I firmly believe the reason why we're not seeing miracles, the reason why we're not seeing signs, wonders and healings, is because we're not allowing God to use us. Because when we pray to God, God use me, we pray to God, God speak through my life, but when God actually challenges you to go to your neighbor and share the love with them, we hold ourselves back. Why? Because we fear. And that's part, and that's natural. We fear. And similarly in this story, I mean, she was restricted to have fellowship with the community. She was restricted to speak in the community. I mean, in a sense, she was desolated from the community. She was isolated from the community. She was living in fear. Nobody wanted to know her. And in other ways, she wasn't even allowed to talk to anyone publicly. So here's the woman who's living in fear. I mean, she's got desires. She wants to be good. She wants to do good. She wants to be part of the family. She wants to be part of the community. But she can't. Because of the circumstances, because of the situation, because of the pain and all the sorrows and all the burdens in her life, she can't. And there she is on her own. She's desperate. She wants to change, but she don't know how to change. She's tried everything. She's tried everything that the land could offer, but no one could heal her. She's lived with no, she's got all money. It's all gone. She's left with no. And there she is. And she hears about Jesus. And I don't even know who's that man who went there and told her about Jesus. But praise God, there was someone who was hiding from the community and going to the marginalized of the society and actually sharing the gospel with them. The reason she knew about Jesus was because someone actually told her about Jesus. There must have been someone. The Bible doesn't tell us there, but I'm sure there was someone in that time who was actually taking that step of faith and actually not fearing and reaching out to people, reaching out to the unreached people. And there she is. She hears about Jesus. And the scripture is very clear. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. I mean, can you imagine if people would have seen her doing that? Jesus would have been declared unclean as well in front of people. Because if you're unclean and if you touch another clean person, that person automatically is unclean now, because you are unclean and now you've actually sat down and touched that person. Now the unclean has been passed on to him. And in a sense, she's fearful. And now she touches the hem of, touches the edge of his cloak, and she's healed. And I believe that today we need to make that decision. Either we want to sit down and just wait for God to move within our lives, or either we actually stretch out and touch the hand of God, stretch out and touch the edge of His clothes, stretch out and actually reach out for God, because we need that. We need that. There are stories in the Bible. Moses, when Moses was actually hearing the voice of God, he had to obey the voice of God. And can I just say this as well? So many times we say, and this is so true, we use quotes like, "Oh, you need to think before you speak." But can I be really daft today and say, sometimes you need to do, then think? I'll explain that in a bit. Sometimes you need to do, then think. I mean, Nepalese people do that all the time. We just don't think, we just do stuff. And after we do stuff, we think, "Oh, why did I do that?" Like, yeah, we just daft that way. I'm daft that way. I do stuff, then I think, "Oh, why did I do that?" But Moses, when he was leading the people and he faced the Red Sea, he didn't have time to think. He just did. If he had time to think, he probably wouldn't do it. God just said, "Just do it. Go on." And because of that, he was able to cross the Red Sea, and I bet he got to the other end. Then he got thinking, "Oh, how did we do that?" Similarly, Peter said, "Oh God, can I come to where you are?" When Peter and the disciples saw and Jesus walking on the water, they said, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" And Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you," and Jesus said, "Yes, come on." And Peter walked, and Peter is like me. He doesn't think; he just does. And because of that, he was able to walk on the water. And similarly, like when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter wasn't thinking. Boom, took out the sword, went for it. That's Peter. Peter is full of like, "I'm gonna do this." Peter is full of that, and Peter doesn't think. And similarly, like I can be like that as well. And that's why I've got Andrew and Grace, who sort of like can say to me, "Listen, Dan, think and do." But can I just say, sometimes we need to do then think. Because if we think and do, we're not going to do it. Because there's so much fear. There's so much doubt. There's so much, "Oh, what if I do this? And what if people are going to make fun of me? What if I do this? And what if it doesn't work?" Because we think a lot. That's why we don't do stuff. Whereas with this woman, she didn't think. She was like, I'm doing it. Then I'll face the consequences. Amen. I'm going to do it, then I'm going to face the consequences. And similarly with us as well, we need to do it, then we'll see the consequences. Amen. We need to do it, then we'll think. Because so many times, she was desperate. And when we're desperate, we'll do that as well. Let's do it together. Amen. Let's do it together. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. And like, with you guys, let's do it together. Let's do, then think. Amen. And yeah, what can go wrong? A lot of things. But yeah, oh, seriously, what can go wrong? Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Amen. God is good. God is so good. And I believe that when we do it, God does it as well. Mightily. Greatly. He does. And this is what he says. "Who touched me?" There was lots of people in that group. There was lots. This isn't just Jesus talking to this woman. There's like hundreds of people in that village. There's hundreds of people who want to hear Jesus, who wants to touch Jesus, who wants to learn from Jesus. But yet, there's this one woman who sees past all of that, and she goes out to touch and receive from Jesus. And this challenges me quite a lot, and it's challenged me in pastor's role. And for the last few weeks, I've been actually dwelling on the scripture, and I've been thinking to myself, so many times we can be in a group and we can just be spectators. And God is looking for participants. Amen? God is looking for participants, not just spectators. Because we can just sit back and watch the whole show and forget what God is actually doing. But if we participate and be a spectator at the same time, it's like, come on, it's a win-win. It's a no-brainer. It's a win-win. And I absolutely love that she actually went to touch the edge of his cloak, and she got healed there and then. And I want to encourage every one of us, let's make that decision today that we're not going to sit back anymore, but we're actually going to stretch out. Amen. We're going to stretch out and we're going to touch the edge of his cloak like the woman did. That we actually say to Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm desperate. Because like only when we're desperate will we act. If we're not desperate, we'll just sit back because we're comfortable with where we are. But if we're really desperate for something, if we're really desperate for God to move, then we will reach out. First of all, we need to reach to heavens to receive from the Lord. And after we've received, we reach out to the community. And we're trying to reach out to the community, but we forget to reach out to the Lord. Because He is our strength. He's our deliverer. I mean, He's the great planner. He's the great organizer. He organizes everything. We organize events, but it's nothing compared to how He organizes events. Because when He organizes events, people get saved. Bam, 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 bam. I mean, I've been challenged with the whole Pentecost history. How people were radically changed, how people were radically transformed. I mean, Welsh revival. People, they didn't even need to like point people to where Welsh revival was taking place. They literally just could feel it in the air, the presence of God. The presence of God, like people were literally getting saved when they come out of their houses because there was such a strong presence of God in the place. And I believe that it is still real today. And it is for today. God can move the same way like He did in the past. And I mean, He can move in a greater way than the past. Because God is not only the God of the past, but He's God of the present and of the future. And He can do it. He can do it. And this is what He says. The disciples, they were like shocked. They said, in verse 45, when they all denied it, Peter said, come on, Master. The people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that the power had gone out from me. I just don't want to be a robber in the crowd, rubbing shoulders with people. I want to be a doer in the crowd, where actually I receive from the crowd, receive from Jesus, not the crowd, sorry, receive from Jesus. And the only way that's going to happen is when we're expectant. We need to have hearts of expectation. We need to, because if we're not expecting from the Lord, it doesn't matter how big move God is going to bring. We just like hold ourselves back. Why? Because of doubts. Because we don't believe. Similarly, I mean, there could have been greater healing in that place. Not just her. I mean, I'm sure there was. But like, lots of people just saw Jesus passing by. Same God. And that in that same place, this woman was healed. Whereas other people just saw Jesus walking past. And similarly, imagine in this service as well, people are getting healed and some don't. And in the same place, people are sensing the presence of God, whereas some don't. Why? Because we're not expecting from the Lord. Because we aren't expectant. And I've been challenged myself, my whole attitude when it comes to being in the presence of God. I want to be expectant. Come on, why wouldn't people be expectant? I mean, if we really love God, don't we want to receive from the Lord? And He's a giver. He wants to give. He's a healer. He wants to heal. And so many times that we hold ourselves back, even when it comes to like getting prayed for and that, we've got this mindset where, well, I've had this mindset where I've said to myself, I don't need to go to front. I can just sit where I am and be healed where I am. Yes, God does that. But there's actually something about stepping out in public and taking that step of faith. Because when we don't take that step of faith, it's not going to happen. When we actually take that step of faith and when we say to ourselves, God, You're going to move now. God, I'm not going to sit anymore. I'm going to stand. Because this is our training ground, amen. Church is a place where we're going to get equipped. Church is the place where God is going to use a mighty man of God to train us, to equip us, and to actually help us carry on with the journey. And I believe the time is now. and God is about to do something. And I firmly believe that God wants to fill us today, every one of us. And He wants to make us ready to be witnesses of the gospel. And why don't we bow our heads just now? Jesus, we worship You, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. In this moment, why don't we just open up our hearts to God and allow God to move within our hearts and allow God to move within our lives. Stretched past through that crowd and managed to touch the edge of Jesus' cloak. And because of that, she was healed. And today I want to open up this altar in the front. And I want to invite everyone who's desperate for more of Jesus. Who's desperate to be filled with His presence, with His Spirit. Who is desperate